Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. It's Monday, and so we get to speak to my friend Doug Keck of EWTN to talk about, in this case, Tom Nash's new book, To Whom Shall We Go? Now, the book explores the biblical case for the Catholic Church, and this is one of those conversations that really has sprung up in recent decades when it comes to the great surge of biblical Catholic apologetics, of which my conversion is the fruit of. So I'm very, very grateful for this heritage and for the people who have done that work in resurrecting what the Church has always had, this heritage. And then we are prompted with the larger question, does anyone care anymore? Who really cares about the biblical case for Catholicism and the biblical case for Jesus? And I answer, well, indeed everyone, especially those people who identify as the nuns. My argument, as a former militant atheist, my argument is that the constant representation, the updating, and the constant engaging in the dialogue of these kinds of works of apologetics, and in this case, the biblical case, is necessary. Because we don't know where the areas in a person's heart are for the gaps that they're longing for, the solution to those gaps that are in their heart. Ultimately, it's God, and so prayer must be our first recourse. But that's why this book by Tom Nash, To Whom Shall We Go, is such a crucial book. And this is something that we need to talk about, the biblical case for Catholicism, the historical case for Catholicism, and the scriptures, because ultimately both revolve around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also want to start right now by telling you we are opening the phone lines today. We're doing our studio spotlight today, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. And the question is, we've asked this before, what lessons have you learned from your years of being married? What lessons do you wish you could tell your younger self when you were getting married? But most of all, what have you learned from years of being married? 877-573-7825. Yesterday was World Marriage Day. And so we love the topic of marriage and the family here in the Catholic Church. In fact, the Catholic Church continues to teach God's plan for marriage and the family. And we want to hear from you. What wisdom do you have to share after years of being married? 877-573-7825. And we'll take all of your calls after we speak to Doug. And that will be after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, February 10th. It's the Feast of St. Scholastica. Today's news brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need at visitingangels.com. New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan has submitted his resignation to the Vatican, which all Catholic bishops must do upon turning 75. He'll remain in his position until Pope Francis officially accepts the resignation, and although there is no telling when that might happen. Dolan has served in New York since 2009. The USCCB laid off 50 staff members in its Migration and Refugee Service office Friday, citing a delay in reimbursements from the federal government. The decision followed White House directives to freeze federal grants and loans to non-governmental organizations. According to the USCCB's audited financial statements, federal funding covered more than 95% of what the conference spent on refugee and migrant programs in recent years. Hamas is calling off a scheduled hostage release this weekend after it blamed Israel for violating terms of the ceasefire agreement. Hamas officials says there have been numerous violations, which include delaying the return of displaced Palestinians to northern Gaza, not allowing supplies to enter the Strip, and gunfire in various parts of the region. Millions of people are skipping out of work today to recover from the Super Bowl. A Harris poll reveals 22 million Americans are calling out of work today. Roughly 13 million people say they got approved to take the day off ahead of time, while 5 million others say they switched shifts. Only 4% of the respondents said they were calling in sick or simply not going to show up for the job. And President Trump says he's directing the U.S. Treasury to stop minting new pennies. Trump writing on Truth Social that the country has, quote, far too long minted pennies, which he says literally cost us more than 2 cents. From your Ave Maria Radio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Doug Keck, President and COO of EWTN, joins us every week to talk about matters pertaining to the faith and culture. And this week, we get to talk about the biblical case for Catholicism and the scriptures. Doug, great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing? Yes, absolutely. A fine interview I did with my old buddy, Tom Nash, who you guys are quite familiar with.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Tom's a lovely guy, prolific author and stalwart laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. And this area of the biblical case for Catholicism, Doug, some people might argue that we've done apologetics to that. I remember when I was in Singapore, people were telling me this, and I not only humbly beg to differ, I think now more than ever we need to double down our efforts.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that would be the take. I do think in some ways people, I think, have shifted, and this is certainly, we talk about something on Father Spitzer's Universe a lot, is that it seems to be less the attack coming from, let's say, the Reformation, Protestant mainline churches, etc., obviously, because they're falling apart. Mm-hmm. But the evangelicals, obviously, who hold to the faith, or the fundamentalists, even more so, that are still there, that are the biggest issue we're dealing with young people, and that is agnosticism.
Right.
You know, and people, atheism, you know, kind of a situation with people who don't believe that there is a God, or if there is a God, he doesn't really care about me, kind of a thing, rather than the old-style arguing over sola scriptura, you know, or faith alone, you know, versus grace, etc., Calvin, Luther, which is what this book deals with. But there's still a lot of that out there, and there's still a lot of people, especially Catholics, who were never given the background that is required these days when they're challenged about the biblical side of things, you know, especially in where we are now. I mean, kind of the post-Trump you know, election period now, there, you know, it's, people can complain about different things going on and argue about how Christian this is or isn't, but there's a general God-positive kind of thing that's out there right now, certainly more than it had been before, whether it's real or not, but certainly the ability people feel to talk about their faith is there. And so, you know, it's important for people to understand the biblical connection between the Catholic Church and the Bible, since it's the Catholic Church who decided which books were going to go in the Bible.
Right, which again is another fact that I think we either take for granted, or I think in modernity people don't even know. It's almost as if, now I kid you not, when I was a Protestant, I used to have people say if the Bible was good enough for Paul, if the King James was good enough for
right,
Paul,
it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, right, exactly.
So I didn't know that the Catholic Church gave the world a Bible until I started my inquiry, right. And then I discovered the councils that put together the canon. So I think it would be safe to assume right. that modern man right now doesn't even know where the Bible came from.
No, without a doubt, and that's because it did come out of the early church tradition combined with the review of the councils to come to the right conclusion of what was apostolic and should be in Scripture, in being divinely inspired as opposed to other things which, like the Dedicae or the right. Chapter of Hermes or something else like that, which might have wonderful insights into the early church but was not written by people that they believed were in direct connection with our Lord when he was here on earth. But exactly, the idea of where this came from, or, you know, that somehow Jesus gave us a loose leaf binder filled with his notes and said to, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and, you know, to and John to go and, you know, well, just, you know, put this into some sort of format we can use here. And it's so funny because as Tom Nash points out in the book, to quote, you know, Newman, but the idea that people get caught into, well, see, it says, you know, about the scriptures, Paul, and they mention the scriptures, and even our Lord talks about the scriptures. Well, he was talking about the Old Testament, of course, because there was no New Testament. He was living the New Testament
right.
At that time. So it wasn't that, you know, he was talking about the previous chapters that had already now been written down. And so it's important for us to take these things in context and also understand how people, as Father Mitch would say all the time, how did people understand what our Lord was saying or what the writings of the apostles meant at that time?
Right.
What did it mean to them? Not what it meant to Luther or what Calvin decided it meant for him. Because, or even people today in the 21st century saying, reading in a particular way and saying it means X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, that's not the way a person, first century Jew or Gentile, listening to our Lord or living out their, becoming a Christian or following the way, would have understood that to mean.
Yep. And that's why that goes back to your earlier statement that dialoguing these issues of canonicity with modern man becomes challenging because we're no longer dialoguing with anti-Catholic fundamentalists. We're now dialoguing with agnostics. And so the question of whether we have to biblically prove the Catholic faith becomes a further question because we should be also evincing the historicity of the Catholic Church and its authority to begin with.
Right, and we have to believe it ourselves, and,
right,
and we have to have that sense, as you know, Peter says, to have that the faith within us, to be able to stand up for the faith. And if you're being challenged by people who don't even believe in God or agnostic, and you don't have that backup to at least say, no, I have the foundation from the scriptural side and the sacred tradition side and the 2,000 years of the greatest minds in theological and philosophical history have gone through this and needed through this and came out with these insights and brought us to where we are right now. I have that foundation I'm standing on. So when I'm talking to somebody, you know, and the other important thing, I feel assured. The other part, I think, as we did in a series we did, which the idea was a series called Heresies that we had created, was to say there's nothing new under the sun. All of the heresies that we hear today that are out there, you know, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't the Son of God, Arianism, or something, you know, different things like that. The Old Testament doesn't matter, the New Testament, you know, there's a Marcionism, etc. Is that all of these things the church dealt with in the past? There were challenges the church already had dealt with, taken on, and so there, it's not something like, oh, well, you know, God forgot about this. You know, he forgot that we were going to come up with a really good argument here in the 21st century that's going to show all of these things, are what they're saying, are incorrect. In fact, everything we've seen is contraindicated. The fact is that society thinks, oh, no, that doesn't work, and that can't work, and this won't work, and that's not the way it is. And you know what? For a period of time, it doesn't look like it is. But over the long haul, it's like, no, that's how it is. And we, it's a lot of what Catholic radio is. It's what Ave Maria can do. It's what EWTN can do. Who believed a nun with no background from Canton, Ohio, could start the largest Catholic media network in the world and be a vehicle for helping so many people better understand their faith? They would have said, you're crazy. It's ridiculous. You don't have budgets. What does this crazy nun know about these things? And I'm not making up those. That's what was being said.
Yep.
And so we have to have that faith and know that at the end of the day, because it's God's will and it's God's church and it's God's mission, that as long as we get on board with that, we don't have to worry about that part. We just have to worry about doing our part.
Yep. And that's precisely why a book like Tom Nash's Right Now is as pivotal, it's as pertinent now more than ever, because these conversations not only need to be renewed, we need to learn how to dialogue them in a renewed manner as well.
Right, and be able to do it. I mean, I always said to my friend Pat Madrid, you know, I mean, how would you stay so calm when you're having these discussions? That would always be a problem for me. And, you know, when he's Catholic Answers, when he's dealing with some of these people yelling at him, et cetera. But it really goes back to C.S. Lewis's the Lord, Liar, or Lunatic.
Yeah.
That's our Lord. That's Jesus. He's not a good man. He's not a, you know,
moral
an ascended master, an avatar, or anything else.
Right.
He said he was God, so he's either God or he's crazy. And if he's crazy, then we shouldn't pay any attention to him at all. We should run. But if he is God, then we better pay some close attention, especially pay close attention to what he said and who he left behind to follow up on his teachings.
Yeah.
Because he said he would never leave us.
Yep. Doug, thank you very much for making the time to speak with us. Always a joy.
Absolutely.
My guest, Doug Keck, President and COO of EWTN, and we've been talking about our mutual friend Tom Nash's new book, To Whom Shall We Go? The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church, published by Emmaus Road Publishing. You can get it on the Ave Maria Radio online store or EWTN Religious Catalog. Stay tuned. We're taking your calls. I'm Marcus Peter, 877-573-7825.
Hi, I'm Ed Bahura. Are you kids struggling with school? Give them the boost they need with Sylvan Learning Centers. Our experienced tutors make learning fun and effective. And for a limited time, get the first month of tuition at 50% off. Call us now at 1-800-EDUCATE. Don't let this amazing offer pass you by. That's 50% off the first month at Sylvan Learning Centers, where brighter futures begin. Enroll today.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu. Italy aficionado Teresa Tomeo's newest book is now out on the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's shrines and wonders, Teresa Tomeo provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how the best to soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Italy's Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections' Teresa Tomeo can be purchased at avemariaradio.net.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, 877-573-7825. We're doing our studio spotlight today, and the question is, what lessons have you learned from marriage? What lessons have you learned from marriage? 877-573-7825. And I'm going to start by just talking about the teachings behind marriage, the virtues that we can gain behind marriage. And so I'll just keep sharing these things that we gain from the life of the church. And what I'd like to invite you to do is to call in 877-573-7825. And as you call in, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your wisdom as to what you've learned in your years of marriage and how you've grown as a person in virtue and holiness. 877-573-7825. Now, like I said, I want to talk about virtue. I want to talk about big picture things to begin with. And the reason why is because I've shared this before in talks, and so I'm going to share this online. Growing up, whenever I share this part of my life, it is to give you a context of the kind of life I was brought up in. So I grew up with a lot of, well, first of all, the counsel that I received growing up had to do with, when it came to marriage, it had to do with my brother and I would be sat down and we would be told, whatever you do, do not get married. And so that was the only counsel we were given growing up. Whatever you do, don't get married. And with this empiricist worldview, with this very materialistic way of viewing the world, you start believing that marriage, family, children become a hindrance to the pursuit of all those things that actually gives life meaning, which is, you know, wealth and pleasure and power and honor. It was only in this miraculous conversion experience I had and eventually studying the scriptures and then the Catholic faith that I came to understand that God had a blueprint for marriage and the family. And this blueprint was grounded in, well, amongst many things, the law of love, and therefore selflessness. And that's what I'd like to talk about today, which is, as you call in, what are, and you know what, they can be little wisdoms as well, they can be little funny things, like, I will tell you, I learned after getting married that women love throw pillows. No one told me that. No one told you that. No one tells you that in marriage prep. And obviously, before marriage, you're dating, and so you don't really realize this, but then you get married, and then she moves in, and she brings with her 30 throw pillows. And all of a sudden, your living room, your bedroom, they all get a splash of a tremendous amount of color. Women also love very comfortable furniture. They love things hanging on the wall. And so these things, right? I've learned these things. But in a deeper way, what I've also learned is a spiritual perspective of marital love. And this is what I mean by this. Because I'd been studying the scriptures for about 10 years by the time I was married, I came to realize that the covenant theology I'd learned in scripture was going to come alive from the day I professed my vows in a very real and unique way. And one way this became true was also in the practical things I do. And so we recently moved, and in moving, obviously, there's a lot of physical onus that's placed on the husband, to anywhere from moving things to setting furniture to unboxing to just constant physical labor. But I'm also maintaining the demands of my employment, and this has greatly stretched my capacity for charity. So that's what I mean by this spiritual perspective of marital love. Because believe me, the physical exhaustion is real. But in those mundane, transient things I do, I get to express love for my bride. Now, sometimes I'll admit it's easy to do it in a begrudging manner. For example, this morning I had to take out the trash and it was cold outside and I just wanted to go to work. And obviously this was something I had to factor into my day. And so doing these things as an act of service, knowing that at the lowest level, it is my job as a husband and father to do these things. But then also giving that to God and trusting that within the covenant I share, He's using this as a channel of grace to make me holier. And if Ephesians 5 can be trusted, my bride is being made holier because of it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, purifying her by the gift of water and the word. And if that's the case, then every act of sacrifice I'm doing is purifying my spouse and purifying my family. And so I get that joy. That's what I mean by the spiritual perspective. But let's talk about some of the practical things that I have learned. I learned this from John Paul II. The first of all is that marriage is a covenant of love. Covenant meaning I exchanged lives with my spouse. On the day of our marriage, I didn't stand before God and say, I am giving you 50% of myself and you give me 50%. Rather, we said, I'm giving you 100, 100. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. Everything I am is yours. Everything you are is mine. And so as I keep sharing this, if you feel prompted to share some little wisdom that you've gained in your years of marriage, 877-573-7825. We're leaving the phone lines open. We'd love to hear from you. It's our studio spotlight today. What lessons have you learned from marriage? 877-573-7825. But going back to this conversation of a covenant versus contract, in contractual obligations, you give a percentage, you give a certain limited amount. Money is exchanged for services, or services are exchanged for services. Goods are exchanged for services or money. Now, I say all of this because in a marriage, I cannot possibly come home and say, I have given you this X amount, and therefore now I am completely my own. Off with you, do what you want. I mean, you can... You can hear how much trouble I would be in if I did that. And my bride's listening to this right now. She's probably chuckling because she knows I'd never do that. Because no married couple has the right to do that. She has complete right to my time, my talents, my treasure, my energy, myself. And I have that too. And so the law of love governs that so that I know my life is only found in happiness when I make a complete selfless gift to her and to my children. And I'm miserable when I don't do that. And I'm only truly happy and peaceful interiorly when I do that for God and for her. So again, 877-573-7825. We're talking about lessons you have learned from being married. 877-573-7825. And that's the beautiful thing about covenant. Covenant means my bride knows that she can fall back on the reality that the vows I professed in word, I mean indeed. And my life will reflect that. Till death do us part. And that's not a goal. That's the termination that we're not looking forward to. It's just the reality of the fallen human nature. 877-573-7825. We're going to Linda listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Linda, you've been married for 48 years. What a joy. Now, please share with us, what lessons have you learned from life in marriage?
Okay, two things. One, my husband and I are both in the same organization at our parish, mm-hmm. Social Justice Council. So we know the same people. We go to the same, you know, events, and we share a lot of things in that way. And secondly, we try and find TV shows that we can watch together at night, and then we talk about that. So it's kind of unifying.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you very much for sharing. Again, 877-573-7825. I think there's a tremendous amount of merit for couples within your state of life. I think discern this well. Don't overstretch your demands and capacities as a married couple. But if you're able to get involved in especially parish-level activities together, doing things together that involves an act of service that's outside of the home, within the bounds of making sure that all necessities are met, I think that's truly, truly wonderful. Now, we're coming to the end of this segment, but keep the calls coming. A lot of your calls are coming in right now. We still have some open lines. 877-573-7825. What have you learned from your life in marriage? And that was Linda earlier, and she talked about not only serving in the same apostolate together, which is wonderful within the parish, there's also this joyous thing they do where they find a TV show that they can share, which is something my bride and I do. We're at a phase of life right now where we get in maybe 30 minutes of or 40 minutes of TV watching a day. And so we discern that. And it's a little thing that gives us an opportunity to learn what the other likes and doesn't like. And so it's yet another way for me to die to myself and find a TV show that both of us can enjoy. And that's part of living covenant. That's what I've come to discover, that this is truly my words entered me into an ecclesial order that's greater than myself. And I have an obligation now to live as if I am completely different. And so every day I try to be cognizant of that. One practical way that someone taught me to do this, two practical ways actually. The first was every day wake up and decide. Choose to love my spouse and my children more than I did the day before. And it's a little thing incrementally every day. But secondly, this person also recommended, claim the sacramental graces, because it is a good father who calls you into a sacrament, who gives you the supernatural help necessary to make this life in covenant livable, doable, and enjoyable. 877-573-7825. What lessons have you learned from your life in marriage? 877-573-7825. We're going to your calls on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
God's unbounded mercy, as revealed in the gospel, is made visible through Jesus Christ. Jesus' very name means salvation for sinners, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Eucharist is the sacrament of redemption. There is a condition to God's mercy, however, and that is our knowledge and admission that we indeed have sinned and are in need of His mercy. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the Gospel of John reminds us. But if we confess our guilt, God will mercifully cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Blessed John Paul II asserted that conversion requires convincing of sin. So just as a physician must probe a wound before treating it, God must cast a living light on sin. But along with the sting of conscience comes the salve of the certainty of redemption. So the Holy Spirit is both surgeon and consoler. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
We have all heard the saying that when God closes a door, He opens a window. But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the window open for us. When a client canceled my contract after 7 years of working together, I was not shocked, but I was still very sad. The 2020 COVID-19 crisis put his organization in a financial bind, and they had already been facing budget issues. I found myself dwelling on it for a few days, and then I started to chat with God, repeating a prayer I have said for years, God, bring me the clients you want me to serve. I knew I had to forge ahead and not spend time worrying about the income lost and the working relationship changed. I know, as I'm writing this, that new coaching clients and communication consulting clients are headed my way. I have to look ahead of me at the open window and not behind me at the closed door. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Remember to take a minute this week to thank a priest you know for all the blessings he shares through his vocation. Our priests work tirelessly to bring us the sacraments and help us on our journey to heaven. Let's encourage them and express our gratitude for all of their sacrifices, like thank you for baptizing our children. Nominate your priest at thankyouforyourpriesthood.com, a new contest every month through September 2025, brought to you by Diocesan, your Catholic advertising and communications company.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, and we are taking your calls, 877-573-7825. What lessons have you learned from marriage? What have you learned from your years of being married? 877-573-7825. Just before we go to calls, I want to highlight one more point I learned from St. John Paul II, and that is that love, for it to be true love, must be self-giving. John Paul II's Theology of the Body, he repeats this adage quite a bit, that man only truly finds himself when he makes a complete gift of himself to the other. And this is no more true than in marriage. This is so profoundly true in marriage. And so we're going to Rebecca, listening in Seattle, Washington, in Sacred Heart Radio. Rebecca, what stories do you have about lessons you've learned from marriage?
Well, Marcus, we've been married about 30 years, and I guess I'll give credit to my husband. I don't know who started it between us, but we were married on May 28th, and somehow we decided that the 28th of every month, we would just wish each other a happy 28th. So again, it's like giving us that monthly anniversary reminder of our marriage. So
that's very beautiful. And go ahead and take credit. I don't think he'll mind.
Well, I don't know. I used to say he'd thank me when we get to heaven, and now I say I'm going to thank him. So, you know, I've softened, I know, as a wife. So anyway, after 30 years. So, but anyway, that's just our little way of acknowledging our marriage is every month we honor. You know, we just and it's kind of a race to see who gets there first, right? Who remembered first. So anyway, that's it.
Well, I find that very beautiful. Thank you very much for calling in, Rebecca.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you. That was Rebecca calling from Seattle, Washington, and she shared about how she and her husband, because they got married on the 28th of May, and so every month on the 28th, they seek to wish each other happy 28th, and it's yet another reminder of a month that they've shared together in joy. They've been married 30 years now. Again, 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls. What lessons have you learned from marriage? We're going to Marcella, listening in Vero Beach, Florida, on the Ave Maria Radio app. Marcella, what lessons have you learned from marriage?
Hi. So we have been married for 15 years now. And, you know, everyone, they have moments that they get irritated, moments like of bursts. And I used to get really upset and argue and make things worse when my husband was upset about something and had those moments. So I learned... I learned from my priest during confession, like not to take it personal, not to take it, you know, stay calm, you know, go through those moments like in a calm way. This way you don't make things worse. Mm-hmm. And these have, you know, helped me a lot. So that's the advice I'd like to give other couples.
Well, thank you very much, Marcella. That's beautiful, and it's profound in its simplicity. That was Marcella calling from Vero Beach, Florida, listening on the Ave Maria Radio app, 877 573-7825. What lessons have you learned from marriage? We're keeping the phone lines open, taking your calls on lessons in marriage. I want to highlight what Marcella just shared, which is this, again, going back to this notion of selfless love, self-giving love. One of the main reasons, I do a lot of talks on marriage in different contexts, to anywhere from men's groups to married to couples groups, and it's consistent and true that statistics of marriage, first of all, people getting into marriage is getting lower. That's one. But secondly, people getting into marriage and staying married, that's also going down. And so when I speak to my friends, Dr. Greg Popchak, Dr. Ray Gurendi, it's very clear that especially in their practices, they see this firsthand. But we're also seeing this in terms of reports and studies being put out, that the couples that thrive, the couples that actually have these wondrous marital relationships where they're not just joyous together married, they're also raising joyous families. There are certain things that they're meeting, one of which is they're lavish with their expression of affection. They go out of their way to make sure that they're showing affection to the other. In fact, as Dr. Greg Popchak tells me sometimes, when we study these families, the children sometimes describe mommy and daddy as huggy. And of course, they say this in jest, but what this does is it creates an avenue of intimacy, of love. And now the reason why I bring that up is because, as Marcella shared earlier, marriage is designed in such a way to be so wondrously affectionate that it is an overflow of the love we receive from God. And so the praying person, husband or bride, receives love from the infinite heart of our Lord and Savior. And then they're able to pour that out to their spouse in affection, in words of affection, in physical touch, in acts of service, gift giving, quality time. And this then transcends and overflows into how the children are loved. And that's why love, as John Paul II tells us, is selfless. Love has to be an act of self-gift. And so we want to hear from you. How have you seen that? What lessons have you learned in your own married life? 877-573-7825. We've got Rose calling from Arizona. Rose, what lessons have you learned from your years in marriage?
Well, I think it's important to respect each other. Humor is very important, and never forget the other one ever making any type of decision. We'll be married 50 years in May, God willing.
Congratulations. Thank you very much for calling and sharing that. By the way, for all of you calling in, know that we will remember you in our prayers here at Ave Maria Radio and EWTN undoubtedly as well. And we celebrate with you these joyous anniversaries and your marriages being these powerful witnesses. And yes, humor. And so loving respect is crucial. And I hope that I can say that that should go without saying, because the modern secular definitions of marriage have made it so that these are really two people who have gotten into a civil bond with each other. They're each living their own lives. And so the mutual respect is really more of a you do your life and I do my life and kind of together we'll meet along the way. That is completely not how marriage is meant to work. In fact, marriage is meant to be such that both spouses can count on the other pouring their lives out into the marriage, and so that the family overflows from that. And that's the blueprint of marriage, by the way. That's a biblical blueprint for marriage. God, who is the author of marriage, and if you watch my program Unveiling the Covenant on Ave Maria Radio and on YouTube, I've done an episode on Genesis 2 and God's design for marriage and the family. You'll see that God's entire plan for marriage was meant to be one of complete selflessness. And the blueprint for marriage is husband completely pours himself out for the good of bride. Bride completely pours herself out in receiving the love of the husband and giving it back. And this mutual self-gift is what begets children, that their love is so real, so tangible, that 9 months later you have to give it a name. And then that love becomes so tangible that 9 months later you have to give another one another name. And that's models of the Trinity. So within the family, you're getting these little models of the Trinity, father, mother, and child, father, mother, and child. And so parents become participants in this procreative love that God has for us. And so that's what love looks like. Love is completely diffusive of itself. And this is what the scriptures teach about marriage and the family. So going back to what I was sharing earlier, by the way, if you're interested in calling 877-573-7825, what lessons have you learned from being married? What lessons have you learned from marriage? 877-573-7825. But going back to what I was sharing earlier about this notion of self-giving love, growing up outside of a theistic and especially Christian perspective, it is impossible to have this concept, because the secular materialist notion is completely selfish. We have been fed with this lie, this narrative of it has to be about my self-actualization. These thoughts that came out of the post-French Enlightenment era, Jean-Jacques Rousseau being one of the strongest proponents of these lies, that my freedom is all about myself. And so even the way in which we approach religion, this moralistic therapeutic deism, that God is here to make me feel good about myself. Christianity is not meant to make you feel good about yourself. Nothing in the gospel says that. Nothing in Jesus' words will ever tell you that. Nothing in the New Testament, the Old Testament will ever tell you that. In fact, greater love has no one than this, than that he would lay down his life for his friends. And though not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will of my Father. And so the will of God is that we love as Christ calls us to love. But this isn't a sentimental, sappy version of love. It is willing the good of the other. And in marriage, it is willing the good of the other over the self. So that when we look at John Paul II's words again, it's about pouring yourself out, mutual respect of one for the other. 877-573-7825. What lessons have you learned from marriage? 877-573-7825. Call down. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Did you know everything about Catholic family life is a prayer? Because of sacramental grace, when families do all the normal things we already do, but do them with the intention of sharing Christ's love with each other, we're praying. When you hug your kids, hold them an extra second and give them a hug from God, too. When you make a meal, ask the Blessed Mother to help you make it in the same spirit she served her son. When you discipline your kids, take a moment to pray together and ask God to help you learn to take even better care of each other. Inviting God's grace into everything we do is how normal, messy families become real domestic churches. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
A man who had been on a deserted island for 40 years was finally rescued. 2 weeks after he was rescued, he made his first trip to the grocery store. All he wanted was a bottle of water. But as he stood in the middle of the aisle, looking at hydration waters, energy waters, prebiotic and probiotic waters, the man stood paralyzed. He did not know what they were, or which among them all was the best. And so he remained for an hour, staring about him, paralyzed by choice. Having choice without first understanding what is good leads not to freedom. When there is no concept of a perfect good, an ideal, choice can only lead to enslavement. Freedom of choice was the other tree in the garden. The tree of life is first. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
If you're still on the fence about purchasing a new air conditioner, just know that prices are expected to increase by 25% over the next year due to EPA standards. Don't wait.
Hi, I'm Ron Garmo with Running Right Heating and Cooling. Call us today for a free quote on a new air conditioning system and all your heating and cooling needs. mention Ave Maria Radio and get a 10% discount.
Call today, 248-884-1704, or go to runningrighthvac.com to schedule an appointment.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We're talking about lessons that we have learned from marriage. And I'm just sharing with you the wisdom from the scriptures, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and therefore the tradition of the church, and also from John Paul II in his numerous works on marriage and the family. I'd like to pivot the conversation from the concept of covenant and the theology of the body, even though that is tremendously crucial, to talk about what the Catechism says about virtues and how that flourishes marital life. The number to call is 877-573-7825. If you'd like to join in the conversation with lessons that you have learned from your marriage life, please call now, 877-573-7825. Anything that you share, we'll be happy to hear. 877-573-7825. What lessons have you learned from your married life? Now, I want to talk about the virtue of prudence. Well, I want to talk about the cardinal virtues, actually. But to begin with these cardinal natural virtues, the reason why they're called cardinal virtues is because they are the four hinge virtues from which all the other natural virtues flow. But because they're natural virtues, what this means is even without life in grace, man is called to live them. Even without a life in grace, man is called to have these virtues practiced. Now, what does that mean? We have to work to develop these virtues in our souls. Virtues are habits. They inhabit the soul as habits. And when we work at them, making daily decisions to become that way. As a friend I had in my grad program used to say, the virtues are very simple. You just fake it till you make it. And what he meant by that was, you don't start off having a virtue. You simply don't. No one does. You start off by choosing to practice that virtue. And depending on what psychologists will tell you, the fact is anywhere from 30 to 60 days of daily practice of the virtue, and it becomes a part of your life. And once you have a virtue, as you keep living it, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us, the church teaches us, you don't lose it. Every day as you keep making that decision, it becomes easier. And so that's what the virtues do. They make living the happy life, the virtuous life, first doable, then livable, then enjoyable. And I'm going to talk about the cardinal virtues in a little bit as it pertains to marriage. 877-573-7825. What lessons have you learned from your life in marriage? Now, what does prudence look like in one's life in marriage? Prudence looks like a husband who tells his bride, "Honey, I don't understand why we need so much furniture, but I trust that this is what's best for our family." Or prudence looks like a husband who understands that women function differently from men. And so when it comes to clothing choices, for example, women function completely differently from men. And so my bride, when she moved in, this is factual and you can verify this, I'm not particularly proud to admit this, but when before she moved in, I favored particularly black outfits. It was just easier and I didn't have to think about it. And so after we got married and she moved in, one of the first things on her mission, she had a list of missions she was going to go through. One of the first things was she took me shopping and she got me a series of colored shirts. And I can honestly say right now, all of the shirts in my wardrobe that are colorful are the result of her. And it's not because I don't have a sense of color, it's because they're low maintenance. I don't have to think about it. But that's prudence, understanding that God has ordained, especially in the vocation of marriage, God has ordained for you and your spouse to be with each other in good times and in bad, and therefore my strengths are strong in her weaknesses, and her strengths are strong in my weaknesses. And like iron sharpens iron, this is what marriage is meant to look like in small and great ways. And I shared with you a humorous anecdote, but there are numerous ways in which the masculine genius and the feminine genius of a husband and bride work together to bring about the betterment of a family. Even things as simple as disciplining children and how to approach it, how fathers become a stalwart figure of justice in the house in a good way, and mothers become the tender, compassionate perspective of that discipline. And both of these are downed to the disciplinary upbringing of children in discipleship. Again, share your wisdom with us, 877-573-7825. What lessons have you learned from marriage? 877-573-7825. One of the ways in which you and I can practice prudence with our spouses is also in the way we speak to each other, and this is challenging for all of us. So one way to practice this is to pray for it long before the moment for prudence is needed. One of the lessons I learned very, very early on in the virtuous walk is the heat of the battle is the wrong time to make the decision. Mind you, I learned this as a Protestant. The heat of the battle is the wrong time to make a decision. So what do? We work on prudence ahead of time. Say prayers about particular situations ahead of time. And so one of my exhortations to you right now, especially for those of you married couples, but even those of you who are in courtship, if you know that there are particular areas of anywhere from contention to even constant sources of argumentation, constant sources of torment, then what I'd like to recommend is you pray for it right now and ask God to come into that area, ask God to come into that facet of your life and ask Him to be for you the source of prudence that you need. Now, that's prudence. Let's move on to justice. Justice is actually rather simple. It's the moral virtue that consists in the constant and firm will to give our due to God and neighbor. Now, what does that look like? It means doing the right thing for God and for others as much as we can. And honestly, the virtue consists in doing it all the time. The more just we are, the more honest individuals we become. Again, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you. What wisdom have you learned from marriage? What do you have to share from your years of being married? Now, going back to this question of justice, our spouses deserve the best of us. Our spouses deserve every aspect of our life that is the best for them. The culture tells us that we ought to expend that for everyone else outside of the home and then only give to our spouses what's remaining, what's left. And so my encouragement to you today is to even say that prayer, that my spouse is owed this justice from me, and in the order of justice, my spouse deserves it. Why? Because I stood before God and the assembly and professed with my own words, I vowed myself to her in good times and in bad, sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, till death do us part, I gave my very being to her. And therefore she is owed this injustice, or he is owed this injustice. They are owed the best of us. And so regardless of our situation, for us men especially, when we go out to work, coming home to give our spouses the rest of us is not the call. Our spouses are actually deserving of the best of us. And so what justice dictates is we pray ahead of time that in all circumstances, I am choosing to be my best. I'm choosing to give my best to my bride or my bridegroom, my husband, and therefore my children as a result. You've got the virtue of fortitude. Fortitude means that in moments of trial, temptation, tribulation, we will always choose the life of sacrifice for the sake of good. In the hardest times, because it's easy to choose good when things are not challenging, but in the hardest moments, I will always undertake the sacrifice for the good, in this case of my spouse. That's fortitude. I will always undertake the sacrifice for the good. And even as I'm sharing this, believe me, even I'm aware of the areas in my life where I fall short of this. And so these virtues are calls to excellence. These virtues are exhortations to live out the biblical model and structure, the biblical blueprint for what marriage ought to look like. And finally, the virtue of temperance. Now, temperance is, again, it's rather easy in terms of definition. It simply means self-control, so that we don't indulge in anything in excess, so that we can become truly excellent beings. One area in which this can be true is when we learn as a virtue to deprive ourselves of those very things that are pleasurable in an overt manner. So we're choosing to not indulge in an overt manner. We're choosing to have these things in a temperate manner. What winds up happening is we become more selfless because we've created room in our soul for grace to work on. And what grace compels us to do is to give of ourselves to our spouses, to our children, so that what was before this a little more difficult becomes easier as time progresses. So yes, there's a natural reality, and those were the cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. I'd invite you, if you have your own time, to look them up in the Catechism of the Catholic Church and to pray, to actually tell God, God, I want to be more prudent in my marriage. I want to be a just person toward my spouse. My spouse is owed the best of me by justice. I want to be temperate in my dealings with him or her. And I want to have the fortitude to always sacrifice for the sake of the good for him or her. If you say that prayer now and you make it a daily prayer, I guarantee you God's going to hear that. God's going to respond to that prayer. Because that is a prayer that's coming from the place of a heart that desires selflessness. And that is, as I mentioned, how God wants marriage to be. Marriage is meant to mirror the love that Christ has for his church. And Christ has nothing but complete selflessness for the sake of his church. He poured his life out on the cross as a true model of what husbandly love ought to look like. And so where the old Adam failed in the garden because he selfishly chose to sin, the new Adam shows us what true husbands really look like. Saying with your body as well as your words, this is my body given up for you. This is my life given up for you. And as Christ physically poured out his blood in a metaphysical way, in a kind of symbolic way, you and I are called to, quote-unquote, pour forth our blood for the sake of our spouses. And so that's what marriage does. It makes us saints. And I want to encourage you, a virtuous marriage is a happy marriage. A holy marriage is a happy marriage. So let's strive to have virtuous, holy, and happy marriages. Thank you for those of you who called. Thank you for listening to Ave Maria in the Afternoon. Until next time, I'm Marcus Peter.